Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read the latter part of this. I'd like to read the whole thing, but you may do that at your leisure. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to begin at verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I want to linger for a few moments with you on the subject of thanksgiving, and cannot really linger there enough. May our lingering be not a loitering, not a lackadaisical sort of thing, but a loving lingering on this grand subject of the people of God. And indeed, thanks is the subject that pours from our hearts, does it not? Thanks we would give to God, to the God who pours all of his blessings to us through the cross of Calvary, into our hearts and into our lives. So thanksgiving has ever been the grand theme of the people of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, the psalmist says, and into his courts with praise. And so we're called here in the text I would consider with you this morning, in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's something on which we meditated a few moments on Thanksgiving Day this past Thursday is that also which I would impress upon you in this morning's Thanksgiving sermon. And it's this, that the happy thanks we would render is to be a holy thanks. And so in distinction from mere American Thanksgiving and sometimes American Christianity, to be sure, we would, as God's people, render happy and holy thanksgiving so that we can give all the praise to the God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, even the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that good and most perfect gift, our Savior. So for holy thanks, let's consider thanks in everything. And there's 3 points, and children, you can follow along. I think by and by I'm going to come up with some outlines here, but hopefully this is clear enough. I want to present to you the meaning of giving thanks in everything, the manner in which we should give thanks, how we should do this, and also how it shows. And then finally, the motivation, not the least of which is right in our text. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the meaning, the manner or manifestation, and the motivation. Thanks. This is the subject once again. Have we exhausted it, you think? One sermon last Thanksgiving Day. Have you exhausted the subject of thanks or your study of thanks as this is recorded in the Word of God? I think not. There's so much to dwell upon when we think of the thanks that is becoming to us in the God of thanks. Here, we take a perspective here from the Word itself. We want to rise and to bring our sermon from the Word that we're bringing here. We take our perspective from the Word used to give thanks. It is, Greek scholars, oikharisteo. That is a word that means simply well thanks or good thanks. And charisteo, the last part, is from the word charis, which some of you may know to mean grace. So put it all together here. There's a word that is used by the Holy Spirit here in 1 Thessalonians that speaks to us of response to grace, the grace of God that is appropriate, that response that's appropriate to that grace. Good response to grace is kind of the idea here. That's what we translate thanksgiving, and that is certainly a wonderful translation. Good grace thanks. And so you see what we're doing here, what we're doing because we must, the text compels us, is rising above mere earthly things for which we might give thanks. We're going to give thanks for grace things. On Thursday, we talked about creature things as well as grace things. When we talked in Psalm 136 of the mercies of the Lord that endure forever, and some of them are the flesh that we eat and the turkeys that we have and the peace of the land. Those are mercies that endure forever. And we indeed are thankful for them, for family, for health. Haven't you given thanks to God for these creature comforts, as we call them? But here in this word of God, there's something for those who are graced, for those indeed who have tasted and seen that God is good, to save them. And that's the idea here. Give thanks, Thessalonians, for God has delivered you from idols to serve the living God. That's what he says in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Give thanks, you Thessalonians, for the position that God has given you as his statesmen, his representatives. That's the idea. Give thanks to this life that's from above, not just of the earth. Because after all, if you gain this whole earth and this whole world, Jesus says, and you lose your soul, and you have not the life from above, what are you? What are your children? Where are you going? It's not good news. We need the life from above. In Christ Jesus, note here, the link between thanks and giving thanks in this grace sort of way. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's how we are graced. In Christ Jesus. In vital connection with Him. Through faith in Him. Because of Him. Because God showed grace. Free favor to sinners by sending Him to Bethlehem. Sending Him to the death of the cross in our place. And now pouring out His Spirit so that we receive by this grace and through this faith that He gives the life with God, without which there is no life. For the wages of sin is death, and to live apart from God is death, spiritual, physical, and eternal. You see, here's the heart of the gospel. In everything, remember Jesus. In everything, give thanks for the life, the way, the truth, the life. Something not American, something divine. Strikingly, what is the first thing that the apostle reminded the Thessalonians of in chapter 1, verse 1, is the blessing that they have and for which they're to give thanks here in chapter 5. And that is this. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, verse 1 of chapter 1, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that in, E-N in the Greek language, that in is significant because this is the word of God. And it speaks to the Thessalonians and to us of what this life is all about, if it be true life. And that's this, that we are drawn into the life of God. That's what happens when you're saved. You're born again. You're drawn into the life of God, into the fellowship of God. That's what Jesus reminds the apostles of when the Great Commission baptized the nations into the name, into the connection of the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what it's about. The Thessalonians were written to not just because they were in the church and in the pew, But he reminds them of their spiritual reality, the reality of their life in God, in connection with God, in the fellowship of God, drawing from the life of God. And so that this is the one thing that they give thanks for. This is the main thing. We're in God in everything. We're in God. See? Apostle John would overflow with praise and wonder, as he always does. John 1:16, when he would remind us all that of the fullness of God have we all received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. There's that grace again. But of the fullness of God have we all received by faith, so that we're in God. And there's this wonderful experience of his nearness and of his life and of his virtues and of his power in God. So for grace, that's the first thing. That's the main thing. The word itself brings it out. Everything about the New Testament reminds us of this. We give thanks for God in Jesus Christ in grace and life, grace life, grace life in him. And that means, of course, give thanks to God, for it's by grace that you're saved. By grace that you're brought into the fellowship of God. Not by your works. Not by how many prayers you make. Not by any kind of righteousness outside of you and another person. Or inside of you. You think you're worthy of merit. Meriting something with God. No. By grace alone you're saved. And that not of yourselves. Faith. Through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. That's the gospel. That's what we preach here in sovereign grace. Not of him that wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Not that I choose for God, but that he chooses me first of all. That's the ground of salvation. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Here is Christianity in distinction from every religion. Here is the religion of thanks and the thanks of thanks. The God who comes down. The God who takes us from the mire to be with himself. It's not about the man who climbs up, but the God who goes down. Takes the fall, as we would say, and dies on the cross that we might live. Now that's beautiful. For grace, we're in God, and that it's by God. And so we give thanks. And this is something that is worked in the Thessalonians. It's worked in any people. Naturally, we're just a grumbling, complaining people, aren't we? Thanks when it goes our way. We're willing to do that. But not when it doesn't. Not able to give thanks in everything. Not understanding that being in God in everything is something that never changes. And that, therefore, we should give thanks in everything. But wonderfully, God works thanks. He works in this people that is not their own now. They belong to Jesus to give thanks. He works in you. He works in me. He works in all who believe in the Lord. This humility to recognize we don't give credit to ourselves. We don't just thank the caregivers or the government for the things they give. We give thanks to God. And we're sinful and undeserving. But now we're believing, aren't we? Now we truly believe, because we've tasted and we've seen the God of thanksgiving, that God is good. And so we depend on him and we give thanks in everything. That's the text. Astounding. Paul doesn't say just give thanks when it's going well. When it's sunny out, give thanks. Give thanks. When it's raining, just kind of find something to give thanks for because there's something good about it. He doesn't kind of do anything here in the way of exaggeration or in the ways of a kind of psychology here. Grin and bear it. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, give thanks in everything. Every situation. Whether it's good from our perspective or bad from our perspective, give thanks. In every activity, your words, your deeds, the songs you sing. Paul would sum it up in Romans 12. that grand ending of the book of Romans with a list of applications that are out of this world, that we might be in this world, a people of thanks. And after he's extolled the mercies of God, the graces of God, he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, because of them. That's Romans 1 through 11. Romans 12, I beseech you, because you know those mercies, you've tasted them, you've seen them, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Bodies means everything, children. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means you're a thank offering. That's what that means. Present your life as a thank offering. That's what in everything gives thanks means. In everything. Now, how? How? Let's get into some practical things about this. And I have three categories of things. If you bear with me, here's my outline here. Here's ways and manifestations that we're truly a thankful people. We're getting it. Okay? First of all, be thankful in everything requires a certain perspective. The Apostle Paul is laying it upon their hearts that they'll have a certain perspective with regard to everything. And you can't have thanks in everything unless you have this certain starting point perspective of everything. First of all, we are in our lives, if we would give thanks in everything, to be free from everything. Free from everything. Again, this is a perspective of everything. Here's our perspective as Christians. We're to be free of everything. That doesn't mean we're just Christians with our heads in the heavens and there's nothing practical about us. Not at all. We'll get to that presently. But it does mean there's a starting point for Christians. We are free of everything. We're liberated from everything. In contradistinction to what a fellow said is the lot of mankind. Here's mankind without Christ. Things are in the saddle riding mankind. Things are in the saddle riding mankind. Let me unpack that. I'll simply state that it means this. The mass of men, women, and children in societies are slaves to things. That's why they can't give thanks to God in everything. They're slaves to things, even though they don't want to admit it. Their temperature goes up or down. Their enthusiasm goes up or down, depending on certain things that they like being received or certain things that they don't like not being received. They have this bondage to them. But the child of God is liberated from that bondage. Being liberated from sin, we are liberated from the cares of the world on the one hand and from the materialism of worldlings on the other. That's what Jesus is addressing in the Sermon on the Mount. When he says, don't do this and don't be anxious for this because you're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're not a slave to it. Your view is not of that. You are of the people of God. You are of faith. That's the idea. You cannot, you see, understand the beginnings of giving thanks to God in everything if you're just among the things. You're to be in everything in this world, but not of it. That's faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this is one of the astounding gifts of the Christian life and the Christian faith. We are taken to be in the fellowship of God in the midst of everything, so that's the thing that matters, being in the fellowship of God. And that means, secondly, we will seek first the things above and not the things below. Jesus, Matthew 6:31, Luke 12:31, or something like that. Seek the things above. So we're free to concentrate on the things that matter, to focus on the Word of God, to have our thoughts mixed with the things of heaven, and we're free to be God's people in this life, so that we're working, yes. We're digging ditches, yes. We're taking orders, yes. We're driving truck, yes. Indeed, in this world. But not of it, and driving for Jesus. And shoveling for Jesus. And preaching even for Jesus. And hearing the word and going to church for Jesus. Third, all things are gifts. That's why we can give thanks to God in everything. Ah, so important. Perspective of things that takes everything you get, children, and receives it as a gift or an opportunity, and not a club over the head or a hindrance. So very important to understand that. Don't we read in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. See that? If you love God, all things are working for your good. So you receive it with thanksgiving, don't you? In everything. Everything. Four verses down, verse 32, Romans 8. He who delivered His Son up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? All things. See that? So all things with Jesus, with grace in the things, sun, rain, downpours, monsoons, dying, death, hard people to get along with, church that isn't perfect, all things, situations, persons, opportunities. Gifts. You're going to know something about God in them. That's the idea. The Father, you see, sends the things, doesn't He? The same one who saved you according to His determinate decree has also decreed the things now by which you're going to realize how great He is and be thankful to Him. So, that cut, that broken arm, that broken leg, whatever, somehow God is leading you to Him, and in all things, of course, leading you to understand the depths of His love for you and the necessity of faith in Him, so that you're weaned away from this world. See that? So very important to be giving thanks to God in everything instead of complaining, instead of being frustrated, world without end as we can be. The kids you gave me, the wife you gave me, the husband you gave me. All in all, seems to be the lot of so many a person. We're free from that because God has so blessed us in every corner of our life. No detail left unturned. So, perspective of things by faith. And then, secondly, this category, means of grace things. So important. It was to the Thessalonians. And if you just look at the book of Thessalonians in detail, you find it from the get-go. Why were the Thessalonians as thankful people? Why does the apostle not think it incongruous, unbecoming of them, to be called to give thanks? Because they were this thankful people to whom the gospel had come in his own ministry with great power. They had attended to the means of God's grace. So you see, in everything we give thanks, in all the normal things of life and the abnormal, ordinary abnormal things of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's these special things called means of grace things, church things, which are very important for us to be giving thanks to God for in everything. Just look at 1 Thessalonians 1. And Paul saying, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. In verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For, verse 5, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. Now just linger on that. The apostle, little old Paul, little old Silvanus, little old Timothy, is reminding them of what happened in Thessalonica in the mid of the first century. When they came, and Paul with his thorn in the side, maybe a speech impediment, couldn't speak the English or the Greek language or whatever it was. And Silvanus and Timothy, they arrived and they looked like ordinary people. And they came and their speech was not as becoming the orators of the Roman Empire or of the Greeks. But it was touched with the divine. There was this ordination of these men. There was this communication from heaven through these men, through this means of grace. And it came then as they received it, not in word only, but in power. And you can read the effects of that power in the verses following and in the verses preceding this. It got so that the Thessalonians were so receptive to that word through little old men, the God's men, that they almost eliminated the preacher's job. Because they themselves, who were the preached to, became sermonizers. They became these living epistles. They became the Word of God incarnate in them. They became as Christ and His images. They became as those who were convicted that the gods of this world cannot satisfy. They called sinners to repentance on the job and in the neighborhood and right in front of them in the grocery line. They were the people of God who were the salt of the earth, the light of the world. They were the people of God who were thankful. And we must be too. And the means of grace is so very important. We could go on and on about this, of course. The Lord's Supper, the sacraments of grace, the discipline of the church. Simply the fellowship of the church, too. In a vital membership of a congregation, you learn what thanks is all about. Because you learn in a congregation what sinners are all about, big time. Well, you should be learning in your homes. We learn also in the church home what sinners are like and how it is that we're not to complain about them. But look at chapter 5. Apostle Paul is speaking about the laborers who labor among them. Verse 12. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And then he speaks in verses 14 and 15 of the unlovable brethren. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. You see, here's the church context. And the apostle is speaking where the rubber hits the ecclesiastical road. Okay? I believe in God, but I'm not thankful for the church. It's a mess. I'm not thankful for the individual, the preacher, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, and the means of grace. It's not enough. No, the apostle says. It's so vital for you to give thanks in this aspect of your life too. In everything. In church things. So vital. I give thanks to God for 3/4 of my life. Not the church. Forget that. That's a mess. Apostle doesn't look at it like that. And he urges the Thessalonians to be thankful. And so we have these means of grace things. More and more could be said again about this, but I move on. Means of grace things are found in the family, of course. We must be thankful families. And husbands must lead your wives into thankfulness. And wives must be thankful. The children must be raised to be thankful for what you have and what you don't, especially for Jesus. It was our own. That leads to the third category, the unceasing heart things. And they're right in the text, or the passage, the context. Our verse is verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What about verse 16? Rejoice always. Some have even said that verses 16, 17, and 18 are all linked together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And all of these three, rejoicing, praying, and so on, are the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That makes sense, exegetical sense. I'm just considering, however, the in everything give thanks part of this, but we need to appreciate the close connection. And it's something like this. Our life, if it be a thankful life, if it be according to the will of God life, is a life of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks. That's it. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. That's our life. That's the great triumvirate that ought to lead the way and champion the cause of God in and through us. Do we do this? This is the question. Or do we say yes in everything we give thanks, and we're not really happy about it? Oh, we ought to give thanks. We exhort others to be. But we're not a happy people. Rejoice always, the apostle says. Don't be giddy always. That's superficial Christianity. But rejoice always. Joy in God always. Have that second fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, and everything else. Have that which is of the essence of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's the keynote of the thankful life, even. Joy. Someone has once said, a minister has once said that it's striking, the word for complaint and grumbler in the New Testament. It's one of those words that sounds like what it means. The word is gogidzo. The opposite of thanks is a complaining spirit, translated complaining or bickering or murmuring, gogidzo. And that sounds, doesn't it, like a complainer. The opposite of thanks. You know people like that. They are gogidzo people. Gogidzo. Monday morning. Gogidzo. I can't deal with that person. Gogidzo. It's raining. Gogidzo. Cup is half empty. Gogidzo. Very practical. Rejoice always, is the apostle. Not be flippant. Not no tears. Life is full of tears. But in it all, rejoice. God is your God. In it all, understand the sovereignty of God. Be happy in Jesus. And then you're thankful in everything. Pray without ceasing. Pray. And here the word is prayer in all its forms, not just petition in heaven, but fellowship with heaven. That's the idea. Have that kind of a life? In everything, pray. Pray without ceasing. Have the kind of life that's not always on the knees literally, but is on the knees all the time in spirit. So you're there, walking down the road and you're really crawling down the road. Running the race, but you're really crawling because you're on your knees. And there you see is where you're learning the fellowship of Jesus Christ in a big time, big way. You're praying. You're breathing in the air of heaven, and I am, and we're called to in this. This is what it's about. In everything, give thanks by rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, then skip on. In everything, make sure you keep the fire of the Spirit burning. Do not quench the Spirit, verse 19. Do not put Him out by grieving Him. Do not hear the Word of God and then reject it. That's linked to despise not prophesyings. Make your love to hear the Word of God. And on, testing all things, holding fast what is good, abstaining from every form of evil, so vital for our giving thanks. And so our perspective of things, means of grace things, and unceasing heart things are vital. Finally, the motivation. What's the motivation? Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks for. What for? Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here it is. Here's why. We're to give thanks, not because the preacher says so, mom and dad say so, or even because we feel like it. It's simply this. It's God's will. He requires of it, of us. He says, be thankful. He says, this is will of God for you. In fact, we know what Paul's getting at. He's getting at holiness here. Because in chapter 4, in verse 3, he's launched into this great application of things that he's talked about in light of the end times. In chapter 4, verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality and so on. He's talking about the will of God for holiness. That's the idea. Holy thanksgiving. In everything gives thanks because this is the holy will of God. This is how you show yourself different from every other person on the planet. You show yourself one who's consecrated to God. Later on, verse 23, the apostle will say in chapter 5, 23, that his prayer is that the God of peace himself would sanctify you completely in the will of God. So this is the idea. Though you may not feel like it, and though just a minister or somebody else has told you to be thankful, do it because it's God's will. It's God's will. And his will is that we be holy. And then the motivation, you see, is also that in this way, there's blessing. This is the will of God, that we might be blessed by being thankful and by being holy. And how many a people is destroyed because they're not thankful. And congregations aren't thankful. Ministers aren't thankful. And elders and deacons aren't thankful. And people aren't thankful. And they're not holy to that degree. And what happens? They shrink upon themselves. God's not the focus anymore. And their rules take over, or whatever else takes over, but it becomes a church of man, a people of man. But the thankful people is blessed. And the blessing catches, as it were. The thankful people is the different people. The thankful people is the light of the world. The thankful people is that which draws the heathen who may be desiring something and something out of this world, and they see it on earth. And they say, that's a happy people. And their happiness is not just because they've won the lottery or something dumb like that. It's because they know something that I don't and something that I don't have. That's why we're thankful. So that we can be a sovereign grace like church. And a sovereign grace place that people like yourselves, sinners, can come to. And find a place where they can be thankful. And they can live a life that's meaningful. And a praise to God. That's the great blessing, isn't it? The greatest. We do it because the God of this will that we give thanks is then glorified. Then finally, this motivation I would leave with you. Then I'll close. This is the will of God. That's our motivation. But how many of us has fallen right now? How many of us is in a state, or are in a state where we're not very thankful? We haven't been. We've simply been coasting in life and even backsliding and becoming more bitter, more callous, more carnal, finding our way through life in any way that except God has ordained. We're not this thankful people. We're really not. That's to our shame, isn't it? And we wonder sometimes, how can it be that we can will to do God's will when we're just like that apostle who said, I have this desire in me to do good, but the good I would, I do not. And the evil that I would, I do. As a struggle, an apostolic struggle of great proportions, isn't there? Well, here we are, this grumbling people, this happy people that becomes a giddy people, and we lose it. And our happiness is wrapped up in who won the football game or who won the election. And is there going to be peace in the Middle East? We struggle, don't we? Here's a great motivation. God knows. And God right now is speaking to us. Carry on. Carry on. Never mind the past. Accept that which you have to repent of. But move on the rock. Move on. You have broken things. You have messed up. You have hurt others, been hurt. Move on the rock to heaven. Let your past be centered on the cross. Let your future be centered on heaven. That's what the apostle is saying here. Jesus is coming. Be thankful in everything, because everything soon is going to be made new. Be thankful in everything, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, and the God in Christ Jesus will sanctify you completely. And at the end of time, He who is faithful will say, Come, my people. Come, my thankful people, come into this place called heaven. There's no reason evermore for complaint. No motivation evermore to try to get ahead without God. Where all will be to the focus and praise of God. Now, let's see a bit of heaven in the thankful people here, shall we? In the godly thankful people here. The holy, zealous, godly, thankful, rejoicing, praying people now. And may God bless us with a thankful heart, the God of our salvation, in Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. You work thanks in us. You give us grace. You make us to be in fellowship with you. And you give us the means of grace and the perspective of faith. And you give us the hope of heaven. How we need that. Fill us with thanks and joy. Gladness. We shall praise your name. Amen.